This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome. As always, I'm your host, Shane Told, and this week we have a very exciting, very unique episode of Lead Singer Syndrome. As you know, if you've been listening to this thing week after week, and if you have, thank you very much, appreciate the support, thank you for being subscribed. But if you do listen to the show, you know, typically, it's me one-on-one with another lead singer, and that's the whole thing. Well, today, we're switching up the format a little bit. I actually have four guests all at the same time, which, yes, it was a little bit tough to coordinate, but a lot of fun, and I call this the Warped Tour Roundtable. And if you like Los Angeles punk rock, especially from the 1980s, I have two of the originators, Steve Soto of The Adolescents, of 22 Jacks, of Agent Orange. He joins the show. And back for a second time, the always entertaining Jack Grisham of TSOL. I knew you would be back, Jack. So good to have him. Also, we have Warped Tour founder and tour producer Kevin Lyman on the show. He'd been requested so many times. I know he's not a lead singer. It's still very, very cool to have him, and his insight is amazing. And last but certainly not least, we have rock photographer Lisa Johnson, who has been on every year of the Warped Tour. She has seen it every year, and she's taken some of the most iconic photos all the way from Smashing Pumpkins to Nirvana. So it's excellent to have her aboard as well. We talk a lot about Warped Tour, but we're also focusing on It's Not Dead, which is a really awesome punk rock festival Kevin Lyman is putting together. It's on August 26th, San Bernardino, California. It features Rancid, Dropkick Murphys, Good Riddance. The list goes on and on and on. Check out itsnotdeadfestival.com for all of the information. Before we jump into that, I want to thank everybody for listening last week to my conversation with the Franzilla himself, Mr. Chris Franzak of Attila. Yeah, it was a wild show. It was a wild episode, very insightful. If you missed it, definitely go back and check it out. And, you know, we've got like 86 other ones to check out too. A lot of punk and hardcore guys, if that's what you're into. So go back and check those out, especially check out the one I did with Jack of TSOL about 3 or 4 months ago, because that's also super, super entertaining. Also, big shout out to my sinners, the members of the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. You know who you are. I know who you are. Thank you so much for the support. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the All Access Club is pretty much what helps keep the lights on around here. And don't fret, the show will always be free week after week. We'll do one episode every week forever. Until I die, I will be doing this show. But if you need more, if you need bonus episodes, bonus content, if you want to interact with other members of the show on the Facebook group, if you want to interact with me on the Facebook group, if you want monthly Q&A sessions with me, and if you want Lead Singer Syndrome merchandise, the only way to get it is through the All Access Club. So it's as little as $6 a month. If you go up to $9 a month, you get a bunch of stuff shipped to your house, patches every 3 months. It's really, really cool, and I'm really, really enjoying it so far. So check out the info, leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. And like I said, it really, really does keep the show going week after week. And while I have you here, as you guys probably know by now, I'm on the Warped Tour. It's week 17. No, it's not week 17. Feels like week 17, but we are nearing the end. Big shout out to everybody that's come and said, hey, Shane, you know, stop me while I'm walking around and said, hey, Shane, man, thank you so much for the podcast. I love it. Love the show. Telling me what their favorite episodes is and re-quoting me, which is funny. I just really enjoy that. So thank you very much. We have some big shows this weekend, the three California dates. So if you see me walking around, please stop me. Say hello. I do really, honestly, I really do enjoy that. All right, let's get into it this week. Here's my conversation with Lisa Johnson, Steve Soto, Jack Grisham, and Kevin Lyman. We're going to jump in right here. This is a very, very special episode of the podcast this week. I am joined by the one and only Kevin Lyman, the Warped Tour founder. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good.
And I have Jack Grisham of TSOL.
Yes, I'm also good, even though you didn't ask, but I'm going to volunteer it.
Well, okay. And he's, you know, he's been on the show before. We have Steve of the Adolescents.
How you doing? I'm going to up the ante and say I'm great. I'm doing great.
Good job. And we have Lisa Johnson.
I'm Peachy photographer. Keen.
Peachy Keen. Aw. No, it's a great group here. And it's pretty cool for me. You know, I went to my first Warped Tour in 1997. And it was, I'm Canadian, and it was not in Toronto that year. I don't know if Kevin remembers. It was in London, actually.
London. Oh, I do remember that.
And so I drove about 2 hours with... you know, my friend's dad, and I walked in the park, and I'll never forget, ran to the stage, you know, like the kids run, 16 years old, the first band I saw was Sick of It All. And how cool is that, that 20 years later, they're here on the tour again? I love that so
they
much.
Look like, they're the only ones that don't look like they've aged.
they look great, man. Shape. They look good. But I don't know how I feel about you saying that, though, Kevin, but it's all right. But yeah, they look good.
Yeah, what are you trying to say, man?
Trust me. Yeah.
Looks like it's going to get personal in here today.
It is. Yeah, it does.
It's one of those things, you know, like if you'd asked me, you know, 20 years ago if I'd be sitting here with, you know, all you guys.
All us ages.
It's pretty cool. No, it's pretty cool for me. And a big focus of this show this week is going to be on It's Not Dead Fest, which is August 26th in San Bernardino, California. So many great bands, the headliners being Rancid and Dropkick Murphys. And it's cool to me because those, like, that's my shit. You know what I mean? I was the 16-year-old kid going to Warped Tour, seeing all those bands. So I would love to be there. I don't think I can go. But it's a tremendous lineup. Now, Kevin, tell me how this idea started. I know it's the second year. I know.
It's funny because both these guys sitting here, I don't know if they remember some of my early shows. You played at Cal Poly Pomona.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was one of the first shows I ever worked.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to school there.
Yeah, I love that. That was a good show.
I
that was fun.
I played there.
Yeah.
I think I picked, you know, and then the Adolescents, when I was working over at Citrus College, would play in the Student Center. $2 Tuesday nights. And that shows my business proudness. Because I gave each band a dollar. And all I got left was like a dirty Student Center, you know, to clean up before school started. It should have been like $3 something, you know. But it is, or it's, you know, for me, it's, you know, whatever anyone says, it's the music that I grew up on in California. It's the epitome of when I got into music, the live music scene, and being lucky enough to, you know, kind of drift into it by almost accident. You know, we did shows on campuses and stuff, and then, you know, cooking up with Golden Voice in Los Angeles, Gary Tovar, who I still think is one of the most brilliant packagers ever. You know? it was an amazing time. And then, you know, for It's Not Dead, it was music. Sometimes you have to do something for your soul. You know, I do this tour a lot, and it was a couple of years ago. I was just kind of feeling like I was kind of losing touch with myself and where I came from in music, and I felt like I needed to do something. And my wife's like, couldn't we just go to Hawaii or something for a while? And I said, no, I want to see if I can pull this together. You know, because I think, you know, the punk bands, they get the opportunities to play around L.A. That's one place you guys still get a lot of shows. But those big shows where everyone came together. You might have Descendants headline a show. You might have, you know, Pennywise do a show. You know, all those, you know, Bad Religion do that show. And, you know, for me, it was just like, we all need to do one show. Because I don't believe punk's dead. I think there's always a kindled spirit. There's a spirit to it. And I go, you know, we're going to try to do this way. And, of course, I booked it like no one ever had, you know. I sent one offer to all the bands. And when an agent sent back, that took them off copy and asked me a question, I put everyone back on the same offer. And then I called all the singers. It's real. I can call those singers and not be like catch a predator. You know, the kids out here, it'd be too young. I can't call them on their cell phones. But, you know, there I kind of explaining the concept of the wheel.
Right.
And I think, you know, just it organically came together really quickly once everyone, you guys both played it. And
I played three shows that day.
Yeah.
three shows one day.
And it was, and you thought it was hot here today.
Right.
But, you know, and that's, you know, for me it was like, but then it was really cool because so many people probably needed that for their soul at that point. I think it kind of re-sparked some things around punk again, you know?
Yeah, no, it was a great day. And, all you know, it brought so many, like, you know, of the bands from our scene all out in one day. And then there were so many bands that still didn't get, you know, they got left out just because you can only do so much when you do those kind of things.
Right.
And which is awesome because now it looks like they're all playing this year.
Playing this time.
You know, which is great.
And then, you know, so for me it was like, and then to see that, but then what really made me feel good about it was because there were so many people. And it was weird because I had to walk around the venue there and I'm looking at faces going, that guy's going to be pissed off at me. No, they still hold a grudge from Fenders or the Olympic Auditorium or something. And, you know, some guy walks up and he's like, and I'll never forget him coming up with his kids and, you know, he was like with his wife and stuff. He's like, dude, you took me out one time of a club. You took me out so quick. And he looked at me and goes, I deserved it. You know, he gave me a hug. And the kids, I think the parents were really, you know, excited to bring their kids. There was three generations sometimes at that show. And they were just stoked to see the energy of punk rock.
Well, that's the funny thing is, you know, Warped Tour, there's the parents' tent where the parents get in for free when they bring their kids. And it's not dead. It's the opposite. Kids under 10 get in free, which is just so funny to me.
Yeah, and, you know, that was like at the end of the night, we had all the moon bounces. You know, it was punk rock with moon bounces up in the hill. And the venue kind of freaked out on me. They're like, Kevin, you know, it's not lighted enough, lit enough. These kids could get hurt. And I go, I'm not taking the moon bounces down. If you want, like, their first punk rock riot right now, take their moon bounces away from them. You know, but then it was, you know, awesome. Lisa's sitting over there, and you know, Lisa's been a part of, you know, as much as the band. She's been as much as the documentary of this whole scene. You've documented it more than anyone almost. And to get, you know, so we came up with the tent idea. Which couldn't have done better.
So it's called Art's Not Dead, right?
It's actually a huge circus tent.
Okay.
And there's like three little villages in there. So we've got a whole art installation, which is Art's Not Dead. And we have a literary section called Punk's Well Read, which Jack's going to be a part of year again.
Cool.
And then we have Punk Swap. So there'll be like, you know, it's like flea market vinyl, vintage vinyl. We've got a big record truck coming, selling,
and you put
vinyl.
That all together. That was your baby.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
cool.
Right.
So, what are some of the coolest parts of that? I mean, obviously, I know Jack is doing a book signing.
I don't know, signing and reading or talk, whatever. I'm in for anything. I don't care. I just like having a good time.
Kevin calls.
Hey, what's up? Sounds wonderful. sounds
what
wonderful.
What time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, it's fun to go. I like visiting with people.
Yeah.
I like to just visit. That's what I like. I like to just go wander around. No work. None of the work, really. But just to visit, I really enjoy. And I'm a great visitor.
This summer's been you've only been here a few days, but you got to do a lot of visiting.
I've been visiting with everybody. I've been all over the place. Really.
That's it. Not burnt out yet.
No, I just like talking to people. I just wander around. So this is actually kind of cool. I can read and have a book, and I can sit there and just visit with kids all day. That's what I like to do. Just stop by and visit.
And I think that's what's been cool about this year's Warped Tour, you know, by getting these guys to come out with me, you know, but I think it's awesome because I know Tony, he's like become like the fan of all the bands. Every day he's wearing a different shirt, he's at a different stage, which I think it's showing these young bands. And that's why I really wanted to bring you guys, was to show that you can do this forever if you choose. I mean,
yeah, that's a shock. I remember being, I was 17 and my brother was 23, and I looked at him, I go, you're a fucking loser, dude. Why'd you straighten up? Now I turned 56 in Chicago, man. I thought, oh my God, man, I'm 56 years old. I woke up that morning in a truck stop, laying on the floor of the van, getting ready to go do a show, and I'm thinking, I'm 56, man. My dad was 56 when I started playing shows or whatever. It's like it really kind of freaked me out. I'm like, you know, because I'm a dad now.
Yeah, we all. I mean,
yeah.
You know, not just, he's not.
No, nope. I sold my soul to punk rock, and that's all.
But you could be a dad.
You could could be.
It could be.
If somebody said, hey, that guy's a dad, nobody would say he's not.
Look at this shirt.
Yeah, you look like a dad.
I went for comfort in the heat. But yeah. Those guys, they call me the narc in the band.
Yeah, hey, I got
so buttoned all the way to the top.
Well, that's what's so crazy about it. For being along and do this. So my oldest daughter got brought home by the police one night, right? So it was late at night. And so I go to the door, and it's two cops and my kid, right? And they're all three smiling. They're all smiling. I go, hey, what's going on here, man? And they go, oh, we caught your daughter. She was in a stolen car. There were some drugs involved and some blah, blah, blah. And I look at him. I go, well, why isn't she in jail, dude? I go, why isn't she in jail?
Why are you waking me up?
Yeah, and the cop looks at me and he goes, it's not like that, Jack. I'm a big fan. And I go, oh, you know, it's just some, you know, now the guy's like a grown, he was a kid going to punk rock, and now he's a grown guy, and he finds out that's my daughter, so he goes, I'll just bring her home, meet her dad.
First time I ever met a police officer that was an adolescence man was at a Warped Tour, and I was in 22 Jacks, and it was in New York, and the guy came up, and he's like, I saw you at CBGB's, in one of those matinees, and he's fully in uniform, like a cop walks up to you, even 15, 20 years ago, you'd get nervous, you know what I mean?
It's funny.
But, you know, and that's kind of just, you know, with it's not dead. I think, you know, it did spark maybe a little resurgence. I know there's a lot of people doing like taco and beer festivals and all these kind of, you know, punk and pizza festivals and stuff all over the country now. But, you know, hey, these guys, if I can help keep that going so they can continue doing what they love and continue making the living they love, that's kind of, I think, where I'm at right now.
Right.
You know, where I've been lucky enough to get to do this for so long. You know, I want to keep, if I give them, can help them have that same opportunity sometimes.
Right. And is having the Hard Rock stage this year, and for people that don't know, there's a lot of older bands that you guys are playing on those stages. Did that have anything to do with It's Not Dead booking that? Like, was it because you couldn't get all those bands on the show or whatever?
No guilt. Just,
or is it just so
no,
you can walk over for selfish reasons?
I decided I wanted a little more gray hair in the parking lot other than myself. You know? Yeah. And it's also fun now because I saw Jack walking around this morning and I'm like, I'm just looking at him because we all know we don't sleep as much as we used to.
Right.
You know, we all don't sleep as much as we used to. So watching the old guys walking around the Warped Tour parking lot in the morning, they get mistaken, the same as the bus driver. They're all kind of hanging out. You know, and these guys are doing it. You guys are doing a hardcore style. You guys are old punk style. You know?
Yeah.
You've been in a van all summer.
Yep. Yeah. 15-passenger van.
That's
and you
insane.
Need to get a little.
I didn't know that.
You should get a little, one of those little, you know, like they got the St. Michael or whatever. They need a St. Kevin medal, the protector of old punks medal to put on.
I don't know. I think it's a split decision this summer. There's some people pretty pissed off at me this summer. But, you know, it's kind of a split decision. But, you know, ultimately that's, you know, why I do things,
you know,
like this.
And to bring that real quick, the stuff that I've read, though, it's no one that I've seen that you've really worked with, that they don't know you.
No.
They just see your name, and they see the name of this tour, and it's their old man punk instinct to kick in and go, oh, fuck that, you know?
Yeah,
and it's like, I've, you know, like so many times I've just gone, we work with Kevin. It's fucking great.
I remember when I got the Damn to play this tour. And they came out and played a few shows, and he's like, why didn't we have this, like, you know, back in the day? Why wasn't the Warped Tour here? I go, because I was too busy cleaning up your piss on stage and everything else and putting out the drum kit on fire, you know, that it allowed me to write. And that's the thing. I always say, you know, and that's where I'm always at, you know, it's easy to attack online or whatever, but come down and meet people face-to-face. And, you know, and, you know, sometimes in business you have to make those decisions and you have to make those things to make things move forward. And I think that's really kind of, you know, punk rock to me is something that needs to move forward. And as it adapts and changes and things, you know, that's why it was almost like that spoof. It's not dead. Everyone's, you know, it's Joe Escalante got all uptight at me over the name at first. And then, of course, he played it and had a blast.
Why did he claim ownership of it? Is that what you said?
He
wants to see one now?
At one point, he had 100 patents on it, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what? Everyone came out. We had a great time. I'm looking forward to having the same time with those people again. You know, backstage was just a mess. Super fun, though.
That's great.
Yeah,
everybody wandering around visiting.
Visiting. Everyone was visiting. You know, and that's really what I want to do. It was just, you know, put everyone back together. Because you know what? The last thing I want to do is we need to get together once in a while, not just get invited to each other's funerals. And not to be, you know,
that's dark.
I mean, it is dark. But you know what? You know, we're losing more of us than, you know, than we realize. And it was great to see everyone in that parking lot. And, you know, for me, it was, you know, Gabby getting to play that show. And he wasn't doing too good at that show.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't feeling so good.
No.
But you know what? he smiled and he shone that day, and he played probably the best show I'd seen in years.
Yeah.
And to borrowed me, I was, $20 off me that he never paid back.
Well, he knew that the logos had the sucker bet.
All the shows he did, like the last year he was alive, were like that. Like we did, the last show we did was at Pozo up in, and with the Descendants, and half hour before we went on, I was like looking at him going, dude, it's just a show. We don't have to do this like today if you're not feeling it. And he was like, nah, I'll get through it. Then we get up on stage, and it's like this whole different thing came over him.
He came to life.
Came out, and he did what he loved doing, and then, you know, he went back to, you know, kind of unglued again. But that was awesome to have that opportunity to do one big last show with Manic in California, you know, in Southern California.
Yeah, you know. And, you know, I just found out Waddy's not doing well enough to come over. Hmm. Really exploited on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, and that, I got that note 2 nights ago, and I'm like, I really, you know, who knows, you know? But I really wanted him to come and be part of the show. And I just got wind that he's not healthy enough. So, you know, we're not going to get any healthier than probably we are right now. So why not do things once in a while together, you know?
How hard is it to put together, like, these shows? Like, you think of a band, and they're, like, they're maybe around, but they're not active, and do you convince bands, like, hey, you should do my show, and, like,
there wasn't really a convincing job there. The hardest one, the best part about that whole show was, and it's why the second one's even happening, because it's not something I wanted to do every year. I don't want to be under that Warped Tour I do every year, and there's probably a reason I do this every year, kind of, it needs to be done. But it's not dead. I wanted to do it when it felt right. So I also wanted Rancid to play that show. And, you know, sometimes Rancid, you know, their timing's off or whatever, and they couldn't play the show. But I got Tim for free that day. I think he played with the Interrupters, with Devil's Brigade. And he's like, this is great. We got to do it sometime. So basically it came together because he called and said, we're ending our tour in California. Are you open to doing it again? And I'm like, you know, it's been a couple years. You know, it could be, you know, let's do this again. But it's not something I would want to do. I don't think it's something that tours. I know people are trying to put together these punk rock packages that tour right now. You know, it worked because Tim wanted to do it, and then the Dropkicks were okay. You know, and then they're old friends of ours from a lot of Warped Tours and tons of shows. And, you know, and then I just started calling people, and I started leaning towards that UK, you know, like, wouldn't it be fun to have, like, the Addicts and Selector, all those UK bands, because I don't think we ever had them all on a show in Southern California. And they were all kind of hitting the Buzzcocks, and they were kind of hitting me up, like, this would be kind of cool. So when it came together fairly quick. Just like the last time, once you said that NoFX, Bad Religion, Pennywise, and Descendants had agreed to play on a Southern California show, it came together literally within, I think, 36 hours after that.
Everyone else is on board.
As fast as me and Stormy could write offers, you know, back and forth. And Chuck and everyone else, you know, there's agents that still work in punk rock that, you know, they've been doing this as long as we do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice when, you know, now that I can give Stormy Shepherd offers again. There was a few years where I couldn't do that. There wasn't a lot going on. And now we can work with punk again. You know?
So you think there's a big resurgence in that style of music? I mean, I feel like even younger people, you know, like I have a good friend actually here in St. Louis. She's 25 and her favorite bands are all, you know.
Yeah, but it'd get really popular right now if all these bands just start smoking weed and singing about weed, you know, because that's what seems like hip hop's really popular right now. So I tried to dig into it and see if it was like a political hip hop with like NWA or, you know, Public Enemy, the bands I worked with, and no, it's just about smoking weed. So if these guys all just write songs about smoking weed, I think you're gonna have a good future.
Let me put that in my notes.
Get that down, Steve.
A couple of sober.
You know,
yeah,
but sober, you know, I brought these bands also because I thought we're in a time and place where, you know, there's songs are going to have to mean something again. You know, we're hitting a point now. I think people are living in denial and a lot of confusion right now. But you know, there's just a lot. But I think there's going to be this point where, you know, songs that stir your emotions are going to be very important. You know, and that's, you know, I think what I try to do this summer, you know, put stuff together, some of the stuff people would say, but you know what, you got to bring those kids in so they can hear these guys, you know, and I know a lot of kids have gotten to see you guys that maybe came to see another band, and who cares if they're walking by to get a pizza or something, but they're going to stop if it's good music. And I think that's the coolest thing when I see people asking, going, hey, anyone seen the Adolescents before? And a lot of kids, no, I've never seen you guys, you know, or, and you guys have been doing great out there.
It's been going good. Yeah, I've been having kids at Trippy because I've been having kids come up to me going, hey, who are you? What's the name of your band? You're my new favorite band.
It's a very
band.
Nice suit.
Yeah, it's like, whatever it is,
But
is
that you notice this too, like, we're playing a lot of new songs. And it's like, it's not like there's this just crowd of
40-somethings that are like, play your first record, or I'm going to stomp off and be bummed. Like, kids are loving, like, you know, we mix it up, and you guys mix it up. Yeah. And they like all of it, you know, yeah. which is great. And if you're a kid that's never seen it before, they don't know the difference between a new record and the old record.
So do you feel, like, Steve, like you've gotten a lot out of this?
Yeah,
I
totally.
Mean, a lot of new fans and stuff, which is kind of crazy to think of. You know,
I think that there's a lot of people that have heard our band that have never heard us before. And, you know, I hope that they're going... sometimes Tony from the stage will say, go steal our music. We're not even trying to sell you nothing. You can go take it off the internet. Just listen to it.
Sure.
You know? So I hope people are going and doing that, too.
Oh,
you know,
I know they are. You know, they're going home and digging in deeper to catalogs and stuff, you know?
Yeah, but I like the idea of coming in and just dropping... Like, no ego, no nothing, and just, hey, you just roll in like you're a brand new band, like a kid band. It's like no hassle.
Rise Records now.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, it's like, hey, we're just a kid band, so they're not supposed to know us. They don't know us. This is the first time seeing. And I went, you know, go back the first time I toured the country, which was like 81, and we'd roll into places, and there'd be 10 people there, 5 people there. Nobody knows you. They don't know what it sounds like, you know. And sometimes you come out here, and you got some kids around. They don't know, and it's bitching. It's like, hey, we're just going to play. And then just, you know, and the other cool thing is, like, sometimes you see some of the newer bands now, they look at some of us old bands and just go, God, these guys, like, bust ass, you know? It's like, they feel bad. Some of them, I had, like, younger guys go, fuck, I feel bad, man. I watch you run around. It makes me, like, just sound lazy, you know?
I think that's what I want to, in a weird way, that's what I wanted them to see, how hard you guys have worked to continue doing what you love. And they have this opportunity, the Warped Tour, to, if they put their effort and time into it. You know, that they can do it because, you know, no one handed it to you guys back in the day.
No.
Never did.
No. I mean. And that, you know what, I don't want to mention anything else, but about
Italy?
Something else.
Or,
no, but like any protest or whatever, I was thinking about something earlier. Like we never tried to go, we never went to like a Journey show with signs and said, hey, you need to make room for us, the punks. Like, you know what I mean? We never said that. We never said, you've got to spice this show up a little bit. We like it rougher. You know, nothing. We just said, hey, we're just going to make our own scene. Right. We're just going to go do this, and we'll create our own scene, which is basically what we all did. It's like, hey, put that aside, and we're going to go do this.
Wouldn't you say, though, too, with each generation, like, I mean, with us, our LA was a lot more nihilistic, but say then the DC scene comes along, and those guys were like, let's try to change some shit. Right. So I understand why these kids now are doing that, because we taught them that. We taught them to think for yourself, you know what I mean? And so, I mean, like, I get it. I get both sides of it, you know what I mean? It's like, it's weird in some ways, like, I don't go after these guys. They've been doing that forever. But at the same time, they're trying to make... Like, this is their punk rock now as much as it's our punk rock, just because we may have started part of it or whatever, you know. It belongs to all of us.
Well, I'm sure with It's Not Dead, you got a lot of
bands socialist.
From different eras and a lot of bands that believe in different shit and have different agendas and what they're talking about. You know, Kevin talks about songs that matter, lyrics that matter. Let's not kid ourselves. There's a lot of bands from your era, nihilistic, you say, they just really didn't give a fuck. It was dangerous, you know. And like, I mean, you even talked about it, you know, with the early TSLL stuff. You thought you were going to be dead by the time you were 25.
Yeah, I would have made other plans. If I would have known this was going on, right? I remember my old man. Yeah, I'd come home and I remember my dad came home one. Well, he came downstairs and I'm wearing a dress and I'm sitting there in the chair and I got black eyes. I got 2 black eyes, lumps all over my head, you know, and my dad comes downstairs and goes, all right, you finally got your ass kicked. You know, it's like, he goes, you're going to feel that later. It's like, I feel nothing. Wow. You know, I thought I was done. And now, you know, some mornings I wake up and I have to pee in the sink because I can't lift the toilet seat because it hurts. I can't bend over far enough to lift. I got to just stand and pee in the sink.
Yeah, well, I think we would have all taken care of ourselves a little better back then, you know?
That doesn't seem real.
Who knew?
What is time, anyway?
You're only old when you look in the mirror, I like to say, you know? And until then, we'll just keep doing what we're doing. And then, you know, and I don't know. You know, It's Not Dead. It's a fun day. You know, maybe there'll be something else. But, you know, we try to also stir younger people to do, you know, try to do good things or just do something.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what I try to do is inspire them to do something out here. And that's, you know, you can rip on what I do or the Warped Tour or whatever. But, you know, I always say, come stack your life up. And, you know, come stack it up next to mine at the end of the day. You know, that's
a nice quote.
You know, come stack it up next to mine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you would figure that out. If you can, come under the tent, have water, beer, whatever. Let's stack it up. And if you could stack it up as high as I can, then fuck with me on the internet all you want.
Well, yeah, we don't even get into all that.
Well, there hasn't been much controversy this year. I mean, we were bringing up the Dickies a little bit and stuff, but there hasn't really been much at all.
There, you know,
it's been pretty smooth sailing.
That's the thing. There's really never a lot of controversy on the Warped Tour. It's created from outside this parking lot.
Yeah.
When we used to be able to deal with stuff inside this parking lot, it never left here because you could deal with it, and it would get resolved, and it was gone. But now something goes out there, and then you got a bunch of armchair people just yapping that don't know what's going on here.
I'm just thinking about you, listen, bunch a bunch of security guards. Or
take it easy, man. Listen, I got a letter one time from this kid giving me shit, because before internet, then they have to write a letter, right? But so this idiot writes this letter, and he puts his return address on it. And he writes this letter to me, you know, detailing all this stuff going on, tearing me apart, blah, blah, blah. Because the show he went to was a $6 show. He was pissed off at a six. So whatever, he writes me. I'm living at my mother's, right? So I write him back this letter. I'm crying, basically. I'm so angry at this kid. And then I look at the return address, and I think, that's only about an hour away from here. I get in the car. I go, I'm there. So I drive over and just go right up to his. It's totally like a Jay and Silent Bob thing, man. I just walk right up to his house. I knock on the door, and this kid, little pimply-faced kid, answers the thing, and he looks. Looks at me, and he's kind of like scared. I go, hey, are you so-and-so? And he goes, he goes, yeah. I go, you know who I am.
I brought you a dollar.
Just hand-delivered my reply. And,
well, everything's so quick now, and that's what, you know, gets these guys, everyone in trouble, you know, because no one has to think. The kid had to write the letter.
Right.
And which I give him credit. At least he wrote the letter. Yeah. That was like, that's intense. Now everyone just jumps on the internet with your thing.
Yeah, and people don't really have time. People are speaking before they even have processed it,
you know,
or found out all the information.
And you kind of go back to that. Like, I always simplify it, like, to how the adolescent brain doesn't develop until you're 25. Some people longer, but like bands used to. Like, if you thought
56,
if you wanted to send a dick photo to someone back in the day, you would have had to meet them in St. Louis, then got in the van at the end of the night, find your camera, your Instamatic 1 hour camera, take the photo, wake up in Kansas City, go down to the
try to find somebody to do it.
The 1 hour development guy.
They don't all do the nudies.
Give them the camera.
Polaroid.
Go back in an Polaroid. Hour. Then go back in an hour, and then after you knew he saw it, then you'd have to address the envelope and send it. It usually slowed down the process enough for your brain to catch up.
Yeah.
You know? And now you got kids that before they're on the 10 going, you know, Wes, they've like shot the Senate. And that's like, okay, adolescent brain just fucked up my life.
Adult brain. Yeah. I've had to learn now. Okay, pace yourself. Pace yourself.
Well,
let's let this sit for a minute. You can do it tomorrow, man. You want to do it tomorrow?
If you still think it's a good idea tomorrow.
Send it tomorrow.
I mean, I think probably kids these days maybe are actually better than you know, your generation. If you had cameras, I don't know, you had cameras on your phone back in the day.
Oh my God, if we had Tinder, Craigslist, all that other stuff on this
thing.
Well,
we did all that stuff without it, though.
What
did you need
happened?
Tinder?
What?
Did you need Tinder?
No, I didn't need
Tinder. I knew you back then. You didn't need
Tinder. I used to know.
No, but I'm just saying if that option was
there. I used to know her from some new one. We all knew Tinder in North Carolina.
Yeah, whatever it was. Whatever it was.
Girl, well, that was her name, right? Maybe Cinder.
Yeah. No, but you're right. Kids are pretty smart, because I get lectured about my kid. My kids will pull me aside and they'll like try to teach me about music or this or that or just something, you know. And sometimes my kid, she's already hit me up. She goes, I'd like to bring my squad out to the show and just, you know, whatever she's got going on, you know. And she goes, but it's so embarrassing to hear you sing. just so rough.
That's why I didn't have kids.
Yeah.
And people always go, wasn't it cool? Like, aren't you the cool dad in school?
Yeah.
I go, on certain days, we only have to walk 5 feet behind our daughters, you know, or sons, you know. You're a banker or whatever. You're always 10, 15. Sometimes I get to go at least 5 feet behind them.
My kid shook me off one day, man. It was such a drag. I was taking her home. I was taking her to her mother's house, and I had a borrowed car, a rope, holding the door together. It's hoopty. I was driving, right? And Anyway, so she goes, drop me off here, drop me off here. It's like, you're six, man. I'm not dropping you off here. It's like way outside the place, right? Yeah. And I realize, I go, oh, it's the car. She's bummed on the car. I go, okay, I'll park the car. I'll walk in, right? So I park the car and I start walking her in. She goes, I can make it from here. I can make it from here. It's like, look, you know what? Let's just, I'm taking you, right? And all of a sudden, this little kid comes up and the kid goes to my daughter. She goes, is that your dad? And my kid shakes me off. She says, she shakes her head no. And I just started crying, man. I'm just like, yeah.
But you know, that's, I mean, that eventually shakes us all up. I thought I made it in the music business. All I wanted in life was a 91 4Runner. That's all I ever wanted. So I used to have all those crazy vans. I'd drive all the shit to the shows. Yeah. And got a 91 4Runner. I was still driving that 4Runner until a year and a half ago. And I went to take my daughter to school. And she's like, Dad, nope. You're not, you are not driving me in that car anymore. And it was like heartbreaking, but it was like finally snapped me around that, okay, it was time to replace this car. Yeah. Because if I wanted to hang out with my daughter, you know, I would have to kind of give up the only thing I ever wanted in life.
But the good thing about that is I did learn something. Because I'm I'm a pacifist now, pretty much, as far as I can try to be. And so my kids, I'm thinking, well, how do you punish them? You know, what do? You can't spank a butt. You can't do anything. So got it figured out. So the punishment is, killer, I'll drive you to school tomorrow. So then maybe I'll wear like real tight shorts or something. I'll take my shirt off. I get out of the car. I start yelling at the kids, yelling stuff. And they were so embarrassed. It's like, that's way worse than any spanking. It's like, well, what do you want? You want me to take you up to school? You want to stop this? You know, they just stop it.
We've all learned how to be parents.
That's wild, yeah.
You know, and I think that's kind of, we do what we keep doing. I mean, it's kind of at this point, it's the only thing we know how to do.
Well, it must be cool for some of those bands that get up and they play, and maybe some of their kids haven't seen them, their dads or their moms play before.
Yeah, I mean, this year I'm adding a little second, I'm adding that stage with like Love Canal and Unit F. All those bands that played on... All those bands that played on every punk show in LA, but never kind of more than that. So, you know, it's like the Grim. They're all playing this festival. Like, and I was sitting there and I'm going, do I need another stage? You know, it's me with always that thought. And I go, you know what? They deserve the chance to bring their kids or their grandkids down to watch them play. So we've got the whole of all those bands that you always saw on every flyer in LA. But I don't know if they ever got to tour out of Southern California.
Right.
But they're all coming to play that show. Like,
did you know these bands like back in the day and you're still in contact with them? Or how did you even get a hold of them?
No, I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, I worked in all the clubs at all these guys. I worked 320 shows a year. I was working every night, doing my own shows, working the shows. You know, and then it's funny because, you know, Warp's kind of keeps you, because now those guys do have teenagers who want to come to a show. So I hear once a year you get that email.
Right,
hey, long time no talk, Kevin. But you know, the community's kind of, even though we all live our lives, you know, you run into people and you see people.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, those funerals, sometimes you go down there and it's amazing how many people I saw at Gabby's funeral that I hadn't seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And you know, you do. This was a big part of our lives. I mean, I had no social life. I didn't really have a social life in school. I was a guy that was kind of picked on, kind of fucked with. And then I found my community by working shows.
Yeah.
And I made my place by being the only sober guy at the shows back then. I was the guy who actually ran the shows. Back then. You know, and
now we flip flop that kind of. Right?
Now I'm all drunk in the parking lot. And they're all looking for a meeting. You know, it's weird now. You know,
well, yeah. I mean, you're going to want to see all these bands at your own show on August 26th.
Oh, I do. You know,
you can't be working.
I mean, I had so much fun at that show. You know, I got bands like the Untouchables to play and things like that. And I was really walking around. I knew I wanted to see Gabby play. But I have great people that run shows. I only had to really get involved towards the end when, you know, with the wheel that spun off and Fletcher with the 8th. I got involved more as an old Kevin Lyman stage guy at that point.
You know, it's the greatest thing for, like, in my mind about that show, too, was when that was going in the wheel and it was the four bands. And we all sat there and we went, well, the only bad thing that could happen to us today is if we get the Descendants going on at the same time as we're going on. Like, because they'd played less in Southern California than anyone else. And we should have never even said that, because that just made it happen. Like, you know, you with your... But we still played to so many people.
Yeah,
it
was a wheel?
They had that wheel.
The wheel on the stage about the order of the last four bands. You know,
that's so it was Pennywise, Descendants, Bad Religion.
That's how we avoided... We avoided the headliner thing.
Oh, nice.
That's a smart idea.
And when it happened, like, Kathy comes up and goes... you guys are going on the same time as Descendants, and the whole mood in our trailer was like, oh.
But it was packed.
It was great. Yeah. It was totally awesome.
We had... Sorry.
Well, you guys went on.
We had with somebody else. We had
Lufkin
next to us.
I think so. No. You were okay.
No, no, no. Somebody was right next to us. It was whatever. Doesn't matter. I can't remember.
That was whole day, that was the thing. That was everyone played to shitloads of people.
Yeah, are there any bands, crazy, Kevin, playing that you've never seen?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Oh.
The girls. Yeah, is that the little girls?
Yeah. You guys have to talk into them. Oh, yeah.
What about Skating
Maybe
Polly?
Skating Polly, yeah. But there's great, you know, for me, it was like the only band I'm bringing back for the second time is the Interrupters. Because I think that, you know, Interrupters, if there is that hope for that new band that people will ask for versus, we want to see NOFX, Descendants, Bad Religion, Penitent, Adolescence, TSOL. I think Interrupters are that band that's starting to cross, like, could be that band.
Great band.
And maybe pull a wave of new punk bands. I love that we have Bad Cop, Bad Cop out here, Barbed Wire Dolls. And you know, there seems to be a movement of young bands. And that's really what we need. We won't be around forever. And there needs to be this movement of these bands. And we've been waiting for that movement in punk rock. And, you know, maybe it's time. Or maybe you'll be 80 years old, but it's not dead.
Hey, never know. Who would have known this was going to happen? Yeah.
I want to ask Lisa about some stuff. Have you done every Warped Tour?
I've been to every Warped Tour, but I don't usually do the entire tour. Last 2 years.
Yeah.
I've been teaching a TEI workshop, so I've done the whole tour. But sometimes I'll just come in for a day or maybe a week, and then it turns into 2 weeks and then 3 weeks. Sometimes you come in for a weekend and you get kidnapped for 2 weeks on bus one,
because
that's happened before.
And with your role, I mean, obviously you're like one of the most famous, if not the most famous, you know, photographer in punk rock. And you've taken so many iconic photos. This thing you're putting together, right, It's Not Dead, what is it showcasing exactly, so people can go and check it out? Like, what are some of your favorite things?
So in the art show, we're going to be doing art that sort of corresponds to some books that have come out. We have Under the Big Black Sun, which Jack actually contributed a chapter to. It's an oral history of Southern California punk with John Doe and Tom DeSavia. And so we have art from that book that we'll be displaying. So it's kind of like these little micro, like micro scenes that happened, and we have books that came out about all of them. So the Safari Club in D.C. was in the late 80s, early 90s, I think, somewhere in there. And so we've got a big art show that's displaying stuff from that book. And then we have a guy who shot a lot of stuff recently at Chain Reaction. And so we have a lot of, like, so it's basically goes from the 70s to now. But it's all these little geocentric things. And then Mark Beamer, he did a book, Still Screaming, Beamer. And they have this touring show. So they have stuff from, like, the New York area. So it's going to be really fun.
I'm sorry, I forget the name. The reading.
Punks Well Read.
Punks Well
the
Read.
The literary portion of our show.
The literary, so what is that? Because is that just like people that have written books? Is that, what is that exactly?
Well, when I got into music, when I got in punk rock, we would actually get the albums and then we would read the lyrics to see what they were saying, because we felt like everything they were saying meant something.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Even if it was just about love, you know? So I felt like a lot of people that, you know, got into music in the first place might have had a literary background, or maybe we read the same books. I mean, who hasn't read Howl, right? So I just sort of felt that common ground, that's like why we got into it, was because of these, you know, influences from, you know, from books and like great works of art. So why not share that? And a lot of people that do music and our songwriters have gone and written novels, books, poetry books, and I wanted to share that because you know, it's an important thing, and I think a lot of people that are into punk rock, especially in Southern California, have that connection with music and art, and it's all one big thing. Music, art, books.
And I mean, what about politics? I mean, it's been a crazy year, and bringing all these people together. I mean, obviously, like, there's a lot of people speaking out about the White House right now, everything going on. Is there any talk of what's going to happen when you put a bunch of punks in a show? Like, is there any is there any talk of that? I'm just kind of curious.
Well, we're in California, so we're almost like kind of okay. But I don't know. Let Kevin take this.
I don't know. You know, I believe you bring diverse things to a platform. You know, I think, to be honest, most of the people that I would worry about are either dead, in jail, or changed. You know, it was like, you know, there's at least within the scene that we all grew up with. You know, there's not a lot of guys still running around that are suicidals, you know, of that era. I don't know. You know, we deal with it. You know, we could say that we're coming out on Warped Tour. It's pretty much a diverse cross culture of society here.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's been a pretty mellow tour.
I think when we get Obama out of there, we'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know. You know, I.
Come on, take it easy. Let's
That's funny.
Can we have some
That's
fun,
funny,
man?
No, it is fun. It is fun. I'm like. I don't know. You know.
All right, never mind.
You know, more for me, it's, you know, where I book something like Warped in the future. That's what's kind of in my mind. Like, where does this tour kind of go in the future?
What do you mean exactly?
You know, it's you know, have we lost a generation of young kids, you know, 13 to 17 year olds? I'm not seeing them at the show this year. You know, I was worried about it. Were we going to lose them to gaming? Because gaming got very popular.
Right.
Boys would usually follow girls to concerts, but now they're gaming. Kids are watching. Parents seem, there's an undertone of fear in this country that we all, the last time we had this much fear in this country, we knew what it was. It was 9/11. We all kind of was able to focus on one thing. Now there's this undertone that everyone's got this little weird fear. And I've talked to people all, truck stops, places I go. And now I think it's almost like parents are like, yeah, stay in your bedroom. Just right. Hang out. Netflix. You know, fuck with each other on social media. They don't know they are, but, you know, it's like that. That's what I'm worried about. Are we going to lose a generation of kids, 13 to 17-year-olds, that aren't going to experience live music, that are going to get out? That's what I'm worried, you know, thinking. Because the average age of Warped Tour this summer, yes, bands are a little older, has gone from, you know, to 18 to 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
Which makes a really fun show. Because we don't have all those young kids passing out, not eating breakfast, you know. But then again, this was their entry point to music.
Yeah, like I said, like how I started, I was 16 years old, my first world
and
tour.
I'm not seeing them this summer, so for me, more for me, I'm going, are we losing a generation of kids that aren't going to care about live music as much as the past ones?
Yeah, it's an interesting point to bring up. I mean, you know, the other thing too is you can stay in your bedroom and you can have Spotify on, literally listen to everything. But I just ran out of records to listen to and I had to go to a show to find new bands.
But Spotify is just, it's a soundtrack to 20 things you're doing in your bedroom. You know,
right?
You know, it's, you know, are we really getting emotional attached to music, or is it just a soundtrack now?
It's sad that because seeing a band is, to me, I mean, I just did an interview about this the other day. When I started listening to punk rock, I started focusing on the LA bands because I could see those bands live. You know what I mean? I would rather listen to the Circle Jerks record all week and go see them than listen to The Damned, even though I love The Damned, because I wasn't going to see The Damned but once a year. So I would buy more records from local bands, and, you know, and then you become friends. I mean, when we all started becoming friends, like, I was there when you made your record, you know, and then you listen to them all the time because they're your bros, and you know you're going to see them Friday night, and it's going to be a fun time.
Cool.
It's like, but those, it's live music. It's a whole different animal, and it's a necessary animal, I think, and it's sad.
We think there, it is, but that's what I'm watching this summer.
Yeah, there are kids that, I don't know, my daughter gave me a list of where she's going. She goes, oh, I want to see this, I want to see this, we want to go over here. It's like, what am I going to see for the Warped Tour? Pomona. She's Pomona, telling me where she's going to go. It's like, I want to see this.
And she'll see you in the parking lot.
Yeah, whatever.
She's going to see Sammy.
Although I will say, a cool story, we played the show, and my kids there with all these little girls, right? And they're all 17 or whatever, and they're all dressed like they're going out to a nightclub, except one of them has got a pair of jeans and a t-shirt on. So it's like one, like, almost like tomboy, and then all the rest of them, right? So then we're playing a show, and all of a sudden my kid runs by me, and she swan dives into the thing, because I already lectured them. No foot first dives. Don't give me that shit. I don't want to look and see foot first. You're going over swan dive, you're going head first. So my kid swan dives into the crowd, and then all of a sudden, about 5 minutes later, her friend goes into the crowd. Then the next one goes into the crowd. Next one goes into the crowd. I'm thinking, wait a minute, man. These kids are all wearing pants. And what they were doing, these 17-year-old girls, one would dive into the crowd and come back and change clothes with the other one. And they'd put on the pants and the shirt because they didn't want it. They wanted to bring their dresses so they could look cool, but they wanted to dive too. Yeah. So they're switching the clothes. And there was like six or seven of them all diving in the same pair of pants and t-shirt. It was crazy. Yeah, it was cool, though, to watch your kids do that and say, hey, you know.
Yeah, that's just what I've kind of seen this summer, you know. For me, it was where did the majority of those kids? You still have them here, but you know, this was a show that the average age was 17 last year. at the show. And now,
how do you know that? How do you?
We do a lot of do research. I got people out there talking to people, talking to them in line. We ask some questions. We, you know, you get the basic demographics. Mm-hmm. You know, we also, you know.
Everyone bus drivers ID and kids before they get on the bus. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
Yeah, come on. Can we take it easy, man. I'm sorry. You're 16.
You can't joke anymore, Jack. Haven't you learned you can't joke anymore?
What?
You can't joke anymore.
With what?
Just in general.
I joked with that one girl, and she got a little upset with me today. Whatever.
Say
I don't want to. It doesn't matter what I said.
What'd you say?
I don't know. It was nothing. It was nothing. But she goes, I think I'll leave. I go, okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well...
All right.
I laughed. I thought
it was good. Guar have some good jokes on stage. I can't remember any of them, but maybe you can.
Well, they also murder Trump every day, too, don't they?
Oh, I hadn't noticed. Do
I mean, they're definitely pushing the boundaries, and they always have. But, you know, they do it in a way, like when you're dressing in a costume, you can get away with more, you know? It's just the way it is.
Well, I get, you know,
Municipal Waste was doing
it. I glance at myself. I haven't touched really social media for the past month out here on the road. Yeah. Much happier on the road. And just ignore it. But once I glance at it, it's like, and I got moms going, I can't believe you have a band like Guar on the Warped Tour. I go, when did we forget that you have to kind of laugh at yourself sometimes and this whole situation we're in?
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean...
I ate 5 grams of shrooms and went and saw them, and there was nothing funny about it whatsoever. It was totally realistic.
I'm probably working that show.
Fenders, down at Fenders.
Oh, yeah, Fenders Ballroom. Yeah, Fenders. Absolutely.
Yes, it's like somebody said to me, Jack was going to eat all those,
Jack,
man?
Jack, you were more trouble when you weren't playing. It was just when you were at the shows. Hanging.
Yeah, that was because I get bored.
Yeah. I remember many nights where it was like, what do? Throw him out, but he's in a band. We might want to book, or how do we deal with him? And then get Roach and those guys that deal with you.
They were bummed. Yeah. I showed up at the Santa Monica Civic show with a trench coat with nothing on underneath but some cowboy boots. And then they go to frisk me at the front. I go, just open it up. I just fucking, grab it. See if there's anything in there. Give it a little shake. See, I might be hiding something.
Yeah.
All
right. Oh, my God.
All right. Sorry about all that.
No. This is.
My guys are waiting in the van.
I know.
Oh, yeah. It's about time, I think, too.
Well, let's before we let everybody go, does anyone have anything they want to plug before we go? I know Steve has like 18 bands.
We all played the last It's Not Dead, so I shot my load the first one.
Hopefully you can come out and hang out and just say hello to everyone.
No, I'm definitely going out for sure. My buddy Kevin Seconds is playing with opening for Rancid on that tour. So.
Yeah, that's very cool. Kevin. No, It's Not Dead sounds like it's going to be amazing this year. Yeah, August 26th, San Bernardino, California. Tickets available now.
Yeah,
tickets available. And check it out. It's some really great bands.
Thanks.
And also check out the Art's Not Dead.
The Big Circus Tent. Come and check out the Big Circus Tent.
And say hi to
tent.
Lisa. She's lovely.
Yeah, and Jack. And
I have stuff to plug.
Yes.
Yeah. Plug. I'm always doing something. I plug stuff all day long. So one thing I can plug is there's an old TSOL song called Code Blue.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Okay, so we actually made a short film that, and Andy Dick stars in it. He's the teacher in
really?
It. And so if you go to Vimeo, you can get it. It's great. It's like a 15-minute short with Andy Dick as the teacher. It's basically the whole thing that went down in the song goes down in the short, and it's actually killer. And then TSOL's got a new record out on Rise called The Trigger Complex.
Yes.
And I just started another new record with some friends of mine. It's called Uncle Jack and the Black Sails Quartet featuring the fabulous Frank. And it's a psychedelic punk rock record, kind of. I don't even know if it's punk rock. It's more pop. But anyway.
So this video, this Code Blue video.
It's a movie.
You said it.
Excuse me.
It's a movie. Okay. It's a movie. It's a very long video. You said it's literal? A literal?
Literal, yeah.
Okay, then.
Yeah, it's great. We did the whole thing. It was unbelievable how much money that goes into making films like that. Right. I was shocked.
Oh, yeah.
It was $65,000 for 15 minutes of film.
Yeah.
Just, you know, online hustling, trying to get it together. But I learned how to make films, so it's kind of cool. It was to watch it and then say, okay, now this next one I'm going
to
make myself that I'm on now. But
it
was cool having Andy Dick. And Andy Dick was great, man. You give him the basic lines, Like, you just give him, I'd give him the basic lines, and then he'd just start riffing off those lines. And it was so cool having him as a teacher. And, you know, great, the kid Brendan, who played, who basically plays me in the thing, he's now on some major TV show. And just, you know, Brendan Meyer, I think,
is he the
name.
One doing the fucking of the dead?
Yeah, actually, he is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just, okay. Yeah, it's, you know, it's killer. It's really, and I was glad because we showed it at a show. I didn't know, you never know the reaction you're going to get on something like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's the last taboo. Everything else is cool, and I guess people don't dig that one still. I guess that's upsetting. You can't do that, but you can do everything else. But so you wonder, but when people laugh at the right part and stuff, when they're laughing, because there's an issue when he, you know, he has a, the first, whatever. I don't want to get into it because it's funny, but it's nice when people laugh at the right part and, you know, and groan at the right part.
When necrophilia does become acceptable, you'll be thought of as a front runner of all
I can't
that
wait to see Wikipedia. Yeah,
first guy. Yeah, first guy on the front line. Jack Christian.
Look it up. Yeah, so it's like my Stonewall or whatever. Yeah. What did they have? The gays had Stonewall, right? The Stonewall riots. That's why we have Pride, right? Because of that. So, yeah.
If you want to read more stories about Warped Tour, we have Kevin and I have a book out called Misfit Summer Camp, 20 Years of Mayhem, and it's an oral history of the Vans Warped Tour, and I took almost all the photos, so you can get that online.
Cool.
Just look it up.
I will post the links to all of these things.
Awesome.
Everyone can find them.
Warped Tour Cruise coming up.
And Warped Tour. That's right. The Warped Tour. The Warped Rewind.
Warped Japan coming up.
Yeah. All right. So many things.
Hey, let me tell you something. If that ever goes down, throw us a bone, man, because that's one place I've never gone to. And I got these bitchin' shoes. They got 6-inch heels on them. Because I'm 6'4 now. 6-inch heels, that's put me at 6'10. And I just, I need it. I need to go over there and be 6'10 and just wander. I'm looking forward to that.
I'll put that on the
very, very cool.
Please. All right. Throw that out there.
Thanks, everybody, for doing this.
Thank you very much.
Great conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So there it is. A lot of fun sitting around the table with all these fine, fine people. Very knowledgeable people as well. I learned a lot. I hope you did too. And I want to thank Steve, Jack, Lisa, and Kevin for doing this. And hey, if you are going to be in Southern California on August 26th, you got to check out It's Not Dead. It's a great lineup, so many great bands, and bands you don't get to see every day, just like Kevin was saying. So, very cool thing he put together. And if I didn't have to go to Australia, I would 100% be flying in for it. I will leave you with some music, as always. I just played Code Blue by TSOL the other month, so make sure you go back and listen to that episode with Jack, and you can hear that song, and you can hear why making it into a 15-minute mini-movie is quite something. But I will leave you with a couple songs. Here is the very aptly named I Hate Children by Adolescence, and It's Not Dead headliner Rancid. I'm going to play my favorite Rancid song, which is Olympia, Washington. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you next week. Here's some tunes. You guys take care. Peace and love.
I never travel to the house. I hate children raising rights to working now. I hate children hating when they get out some noise. I hate children burning down to another choice. I hate children such bad, stupid little crap. Watch me just fast, fast, fast. If I'm may, I can go away. Crying that they made. I hate children screaming on the police day. I hate children hating the play night. I hate children chasing the fucking around. I hate children touching out these stupid little black. What do you just scratch, scratch, scratch? In my way, I go away. Children, come on, children, get.
inside of me. Men in the day, Puerto Ricans. These girls took us to the porn house, where we played a lonely pinball machine. Hanging on the corner, 152nd and Broadway. The cars passing by, but none of them seem to go my way. In New York City, well, I wish I was on the highway. Back to Olympia. I'm having a hard time understanding. It gets harder. Something burning deep inside of me. All I knew, it's 4 o'clock and she ain't never showed up in. I watched a thousand people call from work. Yeah! Hanging on the corner on 52nd and Broadway. A car's passing by, but none of them seem to go my way. A New York City, I wish I was on the highway. Back to Olympia. I lose everything. Something burning deep inside of me. Running to three Puerto Ricans. These girls took us to the forest.